Good morning, church. Anybody else excited for the new temperature? We are slightly below hell. Man, it shouldn't be this hot in October, but I'm thankful for the cool weather that's coming up. If you're visiting with us this morning, it's an honor to have you here with us. I pray that you feel welcomed and loved. Any questions, just grab somebody with a tag on. They can get the answer for you if they don't have it themselves. If you're watching online, it's an honor that you would take time to listen and hang out with us for a little while. I just want to take a second to again say thank you for all of our dream teamers who work so hard. You don't really see it a lot if you're just in here, but we have, I don't know, it usually takes about 20 to 25 individuals that make everything run on Sunday morning, from taking care of the kids to the videos to the greeters to the ushers. And we don't appreciate them enough as we should. So if you're on a dream team or you're serving somewhere today and watching this later, just know that from Melanie and I's heart that you're loved and appreciated and that we are very, very aware that we couldn't do this or would we want to do this without you. And so we love you. So why don't we give the dream team a hand? Thank you. If you're wondering what is the dream team, we don't use the word volunteer because I think sometimes you can volunteer for something you don't want to do. But the dream team is us doing something that's passionate inside of us, using our gifts and abilities to serve God. And that's why we call them, that we're fulfilling the dream of God. And that's why we call them the dream team. Last week we started a new series, called All That Matters. And we started off last week, Melanie came and talked about Project 216. And she talked about the huge impact that your generosity and the generosity of our partners in the community who have come alongside us in Project 216 and the impact it has in our community and our school system. And we talked about why it matters. And if you missed last week, go on our website. You can catch the video or you can listen to the podcast as well. And if you missed that, it's also not too late. We only do two special offerings a year because I believe if we're all doing what we should be doing in obedience to God, then we don't need to take up extra offerings, and we just don't do that. Something is that I believe in. But we focus once a year on Project 216, and if you didn't get to give last week, you can give in today's offering online. Just designate it for Project 216, and we're going to keep reaching our community and reaching the students of our community and blessing them and loving on them. So since last week, we took a good look at what we do locally. And if you're visiting today, this is going to be a little bit different from our typical message. But I wanted to come back and visit something we haven't talked about in a while. We do the egg drop here or in the parade. We do Project 216 here locally. But I think some of you probably don't know that your giving, your faithfulness, your tithing, that it has reached literally around the world. That I think sometimes in Sylvania, we can see ourselves as a mission unto ourselves. And we forget that there's a world out there. If you've been to step one in our growth track, you've probably heard this verse. And this is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, this is Jesus telling them, hey, you're going to be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. And it lists these places in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. In short, that was their day of saying, for local, for state, for nation, and for world. And it doesn't delineate, well, if you're in a small town like Sylvania, you just take care of yourselves, and we'll let the big cities and the rest of the world go take care of each other. You guys just fend for yourselves because you're small, and you don't really need to get outside of the four walls of your church or outside of your community. That's just not what the Bible says. Being a small community doesn't give us an out. So we can hang that excuse up. I hear it a lot. I've actually been asked this question. Why do we take care of kids and give to kids in Honduras when we have hungry kids here? This is why. Because the Bible doesn't say just reach out to those around you. It says we're reaching out to those around the world. Now, I do believe God directs us. God gives us wisdom and direction on where to go. As you'll see as we talk, most of the stuff that we do, and this wasn't intentional until we look back at it and realize that maybe God was directing us. But just about everything we do is tied with kids, both locally and internationally. We didn't start off intend to do that. It's just the way God's led us, and I think it's just because that's where our hearts have always been as a church body. And we'll talk about today why it matters, this series of all that matters, why it matters that we not only reach out to our local kids, but we reach out to the international community, that we reach out in our own country. But before I show you what we support around the world, I want you to know this. I want you to please hear my heart. We as church leadership, so I include myself and the trustees, I'm a stickler for this. We don't ask anything of anybody else that we're not already doing ourselves. And so that you know, from today's offering, just we'll use today, the first thing we do is we take 11% of it and set it aside to support the ministries that you'll see right off the top. Because I truly believe, and this is not a money message, so don't, everybody starts reaching for their wallet, like, here he goes, he's going to ask us for money. I'm not asking you for money. I'm just going to show you and demonstrate to you that we talk about, I'm going to give you the what, and then at the end, I'm going to give you the why we do what we do. But you need to know that all of this is possible because you're faithful in your generosity, you're faithful in your tithe, you're faithful in giving, giving in abundance because God has been good to you. And those are the things that you're going to see that we have outreach all over the world. That we as a church do walk this out. We walk out Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And years ago, I felt like, you know what? If we need to step it up. So we went from 10% to 11% to give to ministries, to give send outside of this house, just like you and your tithing send it from your house to God's storehouse. Amen? Everybody okay? Talk about money, people get antsy and get angry. Nobody's antsy or angry, right? Okay, if you're online, don't send us notes. We're just teaching the Bible this morning, all right? All right, the first organization that you may or may not know, we've been a part of this group for a while, it's called the ARC. And the ARC stands for the Association of Related Churches. And years ago, I don't even really know how many years ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, we were going through a process of kind of revamping the kids' ministry, revamping the nursery, looking through how we do things, and I was really struggling to find help and ideas about where to go. And so I ran into some friends who are part of this group, and their whole mission at the ARC is to do nothing but plant life-giving churches, healthy, life-giving churches. And it struck a chord with me because I truly believe that the way God set up the kingdom, the way he's bringing Jesus to people is through the local church. That the hope of the world, the hope of Sylvania doesn't come through me or through you, but through his body, right? Now, you and I can share Christ, but I hate to bust your bubble, but it's not about you and it's not about me. The Bible says that us as a body are the ones that are supposed to go out to reach the world, to reach our city, to reach our neighbors, to reach our friends. And the ARC, their heart just kind of resonated with me, that the local church was important to them, and that's all they do. And here's the thing that really impressed me about it. 100% of the funds raised go to planting churches. There are 4 large churches that underwrite the whole thing, all their administration costs and everything. So every dime that we send them goes to help somebody plant a church, not only somewhere in America, but now they're starting to venture outside of the U.S. Let me give you some examples. Look at these stats behind me. They'll throw up it on the screen behind me. To date, they have launched 842 churches. Now, that's a big number, but even a bigger number is 95% of the churches that start make it. That's a huge number. These numbers here are just that's to date. Through the summer, there's 33 churches. At the end of the year, I called and checked. By the end of the year, they're going to be up to 60 new churches this year. Of the churches that launched, 405 people just on the first day met Jesus. Now, when you add all their numbers up for just this year and for this whole span, that's a lot of folks. The number of 293 average attendance, that's the one they threw in, they average an opening day from 200 to some of them open in big cities up to 1,000 people. That number size is not relevant to me, but the one in the middle on the bottom is the one that's relevant to me. So it's an honor for us to be a part of it. It's an honor for us to help plant life-giving churches. And I wanted to kind of bring it home to you. So I got from one of the guys at the Ark, I got them to send me this letter they received. And I'm just going to read you a portion of it real quick. And this is from a girl named Amanda. Now, keep in mind, the same stories exist here in Sylvania. The same stories, the same hurt, the same need, the same things exist here. But listen to this. It says, several months after having my third child, I found myself in a place where I never imagined I would be. I'd become someone I didn't recognize, and I was ashamed of it. I was struggling with severe anxiety, and I refused to admit it or see how it was even affecting myself or my children. I had no idea that His, meaning God's plan for peace and understanding, would come soon to me, and how it would feel from the love of complete strangers. I was loved without condition, even in my broken state. The love and understanding I was shown told me it was time to start over. Not to go back to the person I was before, but to be the person I am becoming, growing in my faith and love of God. That's just one girl, and this one was from the Midwest, that just needed somebody to show her love. So we have a part of this girl's story because the funds that we sent helped start this church called Restoration Church. It's out in the Midwest. And the reason it stuck with me, because we have the same needs here. Maybe you were the one that walked through the door at some point that just needed somebody to say hello, to give you a hug, to say you're loved, to say good to see you today. Maybe you're watching online and you've never felt that. If you come here, as long as I'm the pastor, you will feel it. Because that's why we're here. Because there's sick people out there and we have a hospital here. We are all just sick people. We're just further along in the process of getting better than people who haven't come in the door yet. And that's why it's such a passion of mine to see these churches succeed and that we're a part of it. That we see life-giving churches. It's sad to say, but there are some churches in our country that do nothing but suck the air out of everybody. They don't give life. They drain life. And it just shouldn't be that way. Amen? All right, the next ministry we support is called A21. It's run by Nick and Christine Kane. You may have heard Christine Kane. She is from Hillsong Church. She is Australian. She was actually born in Greece. And this organization, its purpose is to rescue people who have been against their will or even chosen by just bad mistakes and find themselves in sex trafficking. And any type of slavery. And this is their mission, to reach, rescue, and restore. I had no idea. Now, please hear this, and I'm going to try to make this as PG as possible. Do you know that there are more people in some type of slavery today than at any point in our human history? Just let that sink in. And that ranges from people who were promised jobs to come take a job, and then now they're held over in debt, or you know, those are maybe immigrants who've come across the border. Those are all over the world. There's people, children who are kidnapped from all over the world, sold as sex slaves, traded like property. So a while back, when I came across them and we started listening to them, I just decided, you know what, we're going to do something about it. And this is one that Melanie and I personally support. We contribute to them monthly. And their stories are just heartbreaking. Did you also know this? You know what one of the top cities in the country for sex trafficking is? Atlanta is a hub. It's a place where they're brought in and then they're sold around the world and throughout our country. And we're talking about children here. Some of them are adults, some of them are older, you know, in their 20s, but most of these are under the age of 18. So it's important that we had to get out, and we had to get out of our walls, because that's just not okay. even in Sylvania, and I know we got our own issues, but looking out in the world and what's around us, this is not okay. It's not okay for us to treat God's creation. I mean, we'll move on from the abortion issue. We'll move down. This is not okay for us to behave this way. These are their offices. They have offices around the world. They're constantly opening new offices. And Nick and Christine Kane travel the world. And if you're interested, you can actually go to it's a21.org, and you can get updates. And they send you an update every time somebody's rescued. And they kind of tell you a general story of who they are, where they are, and tell you there's a little bit without giving out their identity, their story. Look at these numbers. Let me give you some of these numbers. Again, I'm giving you numbers because numbers have names, and those names matter to God. You're not just a number. No matter how big the church gets, you're not just a number. You're a name, and your name and your story matters to God, and these people do too. Look at this. There's over 10,000 calls for help. These are people stuck in some kind of, trafficking or slave situation. 300 victims were identified and assisted. In other words, they got them out. This is just last year. 19 court cases last year. They also help local prosecutors because of their vast knowledge. They come in and help them prosecute all around the world in U.S. courts and foreign courts to prosecute the people who do this sort of horrible thing. And 38 of them just last year were put in prison with A21's help. 182 survivors were taken in and cared for and started down that path of restoration and started. The thing you need to know is that Christine Kane herself was a victim of trafficking. And this is why it's such a passion to her and her husband. She came out of this and was rescued, and somebody came after her and rescued her and restored her. They just opened new centers in Greece and in Cambodia. And I wanted to highlight the one in Cambodia. Thank you. I wanted to highlight the one in Cambodia for this reason. And I was shocked. I did a good bit of research this week. In Cambodia, the average, now that's the average age of a young girl that is taken, stolen, seduced, all of the above, from their families and put into the sex trafficking slave is age of 12. 12. I have a 10-year-old. Can I just be honest for a minute? I have a 10-year-old. And when I read that in my office, I had to get up and walk outside. It upset me emotionally, but and for those of you who have kids, really, you don't have to have kids. For those of you who have Jesus, you should feel this same rage. I had to just walk outside and take a deep breath because I can't imagine my child or any of your children walking at 12. Don't get me wrong, it's horrible at any age. But for 10 and 12-year-olds to be taken, and most of the kids from Cambodia are sold around the world, and they're not just females. These are boys, too. This ought to bother the God in us, the Jesus in us, should get some holy anger, some unsettledness about this. But you need to know this. We're doing our part. We're helping. I can't go to Cambodia and do this, but A21 does, and they're very good at it, and that's why we support them. It's just not right, and we have the power, not just in ourselves, we have the power because God's given it to us through even being the most blessed nation on the earth to be able to do something about it. And to me, it's an honor that we get to be a part of it. Now, we're also in four other parts of the world. And again, I want you to notice that all of these areas that we're in all seem to focus on kids. It's kind of the unifying theme through all of this. God has pointed us in the direction of these kids. So I want you to look at these real quick. The first one is Maranatha Faith Ministries. And we created a little map so you could, those of you who are geographically challenged, could have a demonstration of where it is. This is in India. If you've been here for a while, this is Moses Chowdhury and his wife. And I didn't put his wife's name up there because I can't pronounce it. And if I did, I would say it wrong. So it's just easier to say his wife. Moses has been in India. We've supported him for I don't know, 15 plus 20 years. I didn't even really, I give you a couple pictures in just a minute. He runs a ministry, primarily they take in orphans. In India, they have a caste system, a class system, and kids are just discarded, because especially the kids in lower class, because they have less value than the kids from the upper class. So Moses takes them in, and I'm talking thousands of kids over years and 20 plus years. He takes them in, he educates them. When you talk to him, he goes on and on and on about he has people that are doctors and lawyers. They come to the States, they go somewhere, they get educated, and they come back to India. And he's also using those people to start churches, which reach more kids. Christians are being slaughtered every day in India. The Hindus are raiding and killing Christians and raiding and killing churches. I mean, killing people while they go to church. And so he's often got guards and people watching his back. He travels throughout India. But again, his primary focus is to reach kids. If you look at the next picture, I think, that's a picture of one of their buses taking the kids to one of their schools. From my understanding, those are all orphans. And that's just one picture. But for the sake of time, I didn't give you too many pictures today. The next place that we're in is Burkina Faso. For those of you who are geographically challenged, that's in West Africa. And I will give somebody $10 if they can pronounce the name of that city. Anybody want to try it? It's called Ouagadougou. Yes. Don't ask me to say it again. You got it once. That's Joel and Heidi Hazlett. Joel and Heidi are good friends of Melanie and I. They went to Oral Roberts University with us. So that's where they met. And they've been on the mission field since really early 2000s. They are currently in Tulsa. This is their family. Joel is in the middle. Heidi is the blonde. Everybody at school assumed that her and Melanie were sisters everywhere they went, because they had the same long blonde hair. And Joel and I flipped coins, and I got Melanie and he got Heidi. I'm just kidding. We didn't do that. And then Jacob is on the left, and then on the right, that's Silas. Silas was a Burkina baby they adopted. And Silas' story is important. When they were in Burkina Faso, they run the ministry now from the States because they came back so they could get him better educated. Silas' story was he was abandoned by his mother in a field. The best I remember the story, essentially, mother was in a field in Western Africa, which is just open desert. She had the baby and left him there to die. And somebody came across and picked him up. And through a short series of events, he ended up with Joel and Heidi. And he's now a U.S. citizen, and he's legally adopted, and there is Joel's son. And that's just one of millions. Burkina Faso is a 98 or 99% Muslim country. Joel and Heidi are there for almost 15 years now. At one time, Joel was over the Operation Christmas Child, you know, the shoe boxes. They sent him for West Africa, like containers of those boxes. And they would do the Give a Child a Christmas. They would go into villages and bring in the gifts and win the hearts of the kids. And then the kids would win the hearts of the adults. They'd been invited to start churches by the Muslim imams in these villages, because they're the first ones to ever show up and actually show them. Now, tell me what this sounds like. Just going to throw it out there, so compare. They would show up and give the kids basic necessities, school supplies, educate them, say we love you. And those simple things had such power that they began to be asked to come in by the Muslim leaders, by the leaders of the communities. There are places in Burkina Faso that Christianity does not exist. It's not, at least not where it's known. And Joel is actually just got back, I think, just last week. In the next picture, these are kids from last week. And I showed you this because I want you to see this. These are not kids from a year ago. These are kids from last week that you have a part to play in them hearing about Jesus. Go ahead to the next slide. This is them doing an outreach. walked into this village. They start their evangelistic. They do puppets. They do skits. They have people dressed up in costumes. You have a part to play in that. This is the what we do. This is what you're doing. This is what Sylvania Believers Church, Screven County. You're not just a little blip on a map. You're world changers. You're eternity changers. This is what excites me about doing church with you, is that we get to do stuff like this. We may never go, but I guarantee you when we get to heaven, there's going to be a little check mark by our names because we took part. We didn't just sit and hoard and take care of ourselves and get new things and build new things. That's part of the process, but it's not our why. This is our why. Joel and Heidi have been there for, again, many years, and we continue to support them. And it's just the way they do stuff is just top notch. The next one. This is one I haven't been in a while, but I've been here 4 or 5 times. This is San Blas Islands. Technically, it's called Cunayala. It is on the eastern coast of Panama. And you don't know this maybe, but we support 4 pastors. Did I put the map up there? If you see the red up at the top, and then see there's a little point of red right up there, about 20 miles into the ocean, there's little red dots. And they say of the San Blas Islands, there's one for every day of the year because there's over 300 and something little islands. And by islands, I mean about the size of our property. And there will be 200 people living on an island about the size of our property. The Kuna Indians are the Panamanian equivalent of American Indians. That's how they're treated. They now through time have a place in Congress and they're it's coming along. But you support the tithe that we send them helps 4 pastors pay their bills so they can do nothing but go from island to island starting churches. And the reason it fits in with the kid theme is because they start with kids. And they go in and win the hearts of the kids and then the kid. It works the same here and it does there. Because you may be one who you came and you didn't particularly like church the first time. That's okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings. It was too loud. It was too soft. The preaching was terrible, whatever. But when your kids came out from next door and they were grinning from ear to ear and excited and quoting back to you scriptures. I've seen recently some of you post Facebook videos of your kids singing and of your kids quoting what they learned next door. It works here. It kept you here. And now hopefully God softened your heart. But it works the same in Africa, in Panama. And we're supporting that. We have been supporting those 4 pastors for probably 7 or 8, well, no longer than that, 10 years now. And there's people's lives being changed because Sylvania is helping a guy on a little 10-acre island tell people about Jesus. In a language, and this is a kind of a neat thing if you're into the, I don't know what the right ology is, but talking about people, that the Kunas have their own language. And their language only has like 50 or 60 words. And these people have gone in and combined Spanish with that and been able to communicate and then teach them Spanish. And now actually older generations of Kuna people are being saved because they had to figure out how to communicate Jesus in 60 words. And it made me think, could you go today and talk to somebody and only use 60 words and tell them about Jesus? It takes some, it's just supernatural. I don't really know how else to put it. And then lastly, the one you've probably heard about if you've been here for a while, these are the pastors. See how young they are? The oldest one is the guy in the back. One of them is actually on the way to the U.S. I think this month will be out in Tulsa getting some Bible training, and then he's going back to Panama. Go to the next one. This is the one of the huts they build. They build them out of bamboo. If you'll notice, in the floor, I don't know if you can see it if I get out of the way. In the floor, those girls are standing in water. That's because when it floods, bamboo's not really watertight, so it floods. This is where they start with the kids. And then I think is there one more? Is that it? Okay. I've been in these huts, And you can imagine in Central America, in a hut with no breeze, even on a small island, we think it's hot here. It's a whole new level of hot there. But let me give you the next one. The next one is in Honduras. This is our care point. We partner with a group called Children's Cup. Children's Cup has care points all over. They're in Belize, they're in Honduras, they're in Dominican Republic, they're in Zimbabwe, and in one or two more. I can't remember exactly. But we're in Honduras, a month from today. Myself and seven guys from the church, we're going down to the care point there. We do this care point with a guy by the name of Pastor Matthew Smith. That's him to the right, his two boys and his wife. He pastors Lifted Church in Indiana. If you're watching today, Pastor Matthew, hello. And we just came together and we said, you know what? We're not two huge churches, but the two of us together, we can help take care of this care point. So back in June, I took Sam with me, and Sam and I went to Honduras and met Pastor Matthew and began to talk about what we could do together. It's a little aggravating because moving things along down there is slow. And I say this, it's not a thus saith the Lord thing. This is a we're going to follow God thing. But my hope is that we're going to buy some land down there with Children's Cup and with Lifted to be able to give them a new care point. You can go to the next picture. Oh, grayed out. You can't see it, but in the back there, that's the roof of the existing care point. It's a terracotta roof that you can poke your fingers on it, and it will fall through. They're feeding several hundred kids 5 days a week out of there. For those of you who have been, you know, it's up on top of a steep hill. For all of us who go, by the time we're done, we're worn out because you're chasing kids up and down the hill, and they run like mountain goats up and down the hill, and doesn't faze them. But the folks from the U.S., we struggle, and you're at a little bit of an altitude. Go to the next one. This is John Bolton, and I just thought it was a cool picture because it kind of grays him out with the and it's focused on those two boys. When you see those boys, now after this will be my fifth or sixth time going, they know us by name. They know you by name. You couldn't see it on the picture of the care point, but there's a big sign that says, Welcome Believers Church. When we come up the hill, they start calling us by name. Even for those of you who've never been, when you go, they send our names down, so they know your name before you ever get there. With Children's Cup, the way it works is that they do a sponsorship. And we sponsor now through the church, through you guys, and everybody kind of associated with us. We sponsor about 19 kids now, and it's $39 a month, and that $39 a month gets those kids food, gets some medical care, gets some school supplies, gets them educated, gets them taught Jesus. Does that sound familiar to anybody else? It's an international version of Project 216. And if you're interested and you want to, again, this is not a money sermon. I'm not asking for anything. I'm telling you our what. If you go to our website, on the bottom of the website, you'll see that. Can you go back to the Children's Cup logo? You'll see that logo at the bottom. If you click it there, it will take you to our care point and the kids who are available for sponsorship in our care point. Every time we go, which right now, again, we're going in November, we're planning on going back the first week of June. So if you'd like to go, those announcements are forthcoming quickly here, then you can go visit. We encourage you. We want to take you to visit the child you sponsor. Every time we go, we take duffel bags full of backpacks that you pack, and we get to go take them and then deliver them and say, hey, this is from your sponsor. This is from John. This is from Tanya. This is, and they get to see a picture of you and interact with you. And we're changing lives. Every time we go, we were there last November, and we called it a Possumetti run. Those of you who live here get that, but in Honduras, they don't get it. But it wasn't a true Ace True Value. And we just went into Ace True Value and bought them all the tools they needed. Like whatever we could, wheelbarrows, shovels, rakes, drills, and anything they needed to be able to take care of the place. We built a, we helped them. I think we probably more got in the way. We helped them build a block wall, a retaining wall to keep the land from eroding. We're making a difference. And this is kind of the one that was kind of at the forefront. It's the one we talk about the most. If you have any desire to go, then let us know. It's a bit of a walking trip. They take you to see. Every time we go, we make sure that you get to go visit homes. You actually get to go talk to a child in his home with the mother and the father, whoever's there. Most of these kids, the reason we do a men's trip in the fall is because the overwhelming majority of these kids have no fathers. And when I suggested the trip, the people at Children's Cup were like, we don't know about just taking men. And I said, well, that's what we got. This is what we're going to do. And ever since the first trip, they've begged us to come back with just men because the kids just are overwhelmed by a group of guys who just are there to hang out with them. Last year, your generosity allowed us to sponsor it along with Pastor Matt in Indiana. We're sponsoring, they do a Christmas party, and they kind of take out all the stops. They do food and balloons, and just imagine a big kid's Christmas party. And it's because of your generosity that they get to do that. This year, on the Saturday that we're there in November, we'll actually get to be there for the Christmas party firsthand and get to experience it with them. It's exciting. We've always just seen it by video, but now we're actually going to be there on the ground. So briefly, that was the what. It's how we're walking out Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now I got about 8 minutes. So in 8 minutes, I'm going to give you the why. But I think the best way to do it is to get yourself, the best way to get you to think about the why is to get you to ask yourself some questions, to get you to do what we have done as a church and as a group of leaders to figure out why we do the what we do. Look at this verse. This is out of the Old Testament. There's a prophet named Haggai, and God was downloading, for lack of a better term, to Haggai what he wanted to tell his people. But look what this says. It says, Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses? In other words, at this time, the people were living in nice houses, and the temple of God had been burned down and destroyed by the various people, the invading armies. And God says, listen, you're living in nice houses while my house remains in ruin. Look at verse 5. Now, this is what God says. Give careful thought to your... Okay, let's read that together. Give careful thought to your ways. Pay attention to what you're doing. A lot of us just live lives. We get up every morning, the clock goes off, we go to work, we go through the day, we come home, we go to bed, and we're not even thinking about our ways. Look what God says in verse 6. He says, you planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. And verse 7, again, this is what God says. Give careful thought to your ways. You need to understand that the truth of our world is we live in the most prosperous country in the world. That you hear in the political realm about 1%. If you make the poverty level in the U.S., which is, it's like $13,000, $14,000 a year is all. If you make that much a year, you're in the top 1% of the world. And we think we have, again, I'm not demeaning a struggle, but in comparison to the rest of the world, you're in the top 1% just by being at the bottom economic level in the U.S. But God said here twice, give your ways thought. Don't just throw it out there. Don't just, okay, and a lot of us, I feel like we do that even with our tithe, if we're going to be honest. Okay, God, you said to do it. Here's my tithe. Fine, take it. And we don't really consider what we're doing. We don't consider we're honoring God and doing what he asked. We're honoring God and worshiping with giving him just a portion back of what he's given us. But I think God's going to begin to ask us some questions. If he's telling us to question our ways, he's going to begin to And we had talked about this actually a couple weeks ago as we did our series and talked about heaven. But I think he's going to begin to ask us some questions. And the first question I think he's going to ask us is this question. What did you do with my son Jesus? The Bible's very clear that when we get to heaven, that there's essentially, there's two judgments. The first one is the in or out. The first one is you either have Jesus or you don't. The people who say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in Jesus, that's fine to say, but you're still, we're going one direction or the other. The Bible says the only way you get into heaven is by receiving Jesus, your Savior, as your personal Savior, the one that paid for your sin, paid the debt you couldn't pay. But here's the thing. It doesn't stop there. That's just the beginning. Salvation is not the end game. Salvation is the beginning of the game. So when you come here, people get here and they get saved, woohoo, we cheer and it's big because it's eternal. But that's just the starting point. Why? Because there's stuff to do. There's people in Honduras that need love. There's people in the Midwest that need to have a church to go to. There's Project 216 kids that need to know somebody care. There's people coming in our doors that don't feel loved and feel left out. There's people that are hurting. They've gone through divorces. They've been beat up. They need us, God's people, to do something about it. This is not a heaven or hell issue. Once you receive Jesus, that you're in. But the Bible says, then we're going to have to stand before Jesus. He's going to say, okay, now, what did you do with what I did for you? Look what the Bible says, and I'm going to go fast because I'm out of time. Here we go. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, he says, I saw the dead, both the great and the small, in other words, those who've gone before us, standing before God's throne, and the books, notice that's book with books, plural, were opened, including the book of life, some people call it the Lamb's book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they have done as recorded in the books. What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with my son? It's all of our responsibilities. Look in the Bible, it says, most of you know this is a great commission in Matthew 28. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you to. You need to know this. That word nation is not countries. That word nation in the original text is the word ethos, and that word ethos means people groups. Now, again, people laugh because I do this, but I'll state the obvious. I'm white. My brother over here in the handsome pink shirt, he's black. Anybody confused? Yeah, for us to say that in public, what's he going to say? Terrell, this beautiful shiny head over there. I'm white. Anybody want to guess? He's not white. He's black. The Bible says of our nation groups that we're not limited. So if anybody can tell you, well, I can't go there because they're different than me, or I can't go there. That's not what the Bible says. It says all people groups. That's why we do what we do throughout the world. This is not a one and done thing. This is not, well, I went one time and I'm done. I've done it. This is that he says, and you're going to do this until the end of the age. That's not tomorrow unless Jesus comes back. It's something we keep doing. Then I think God's going to ask us this second question, and we'll close with this. He's going to ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? Now, it's all going to be in various amounts and sizes, but these next three things we all have. We all have time. We all have the ability to put in effort. And we all have the ability to put in finances. Now, you may have a lot of the first two and none of the last one. There's no excuse. The Bible doesn't let us get out of it because we as a church are in Sylvania and we don't have as much money as people in Statesboro. We don't have as much money. The Bible doesn't let us out of that. Again, this is not a money message. I'm giving you the why that drives us to do the what we do. And the Bible is clear. If you look in the New Testament, for sake of time, I won't. But if you read the story about the talents, it wasn't the fact that the guy that had one talent only had one talent that made God angry. It was the fact he had one talent and he did what? Nothing. I don't want us as a church body and as a family and me as a pastor to stand before God and go, you had one talent. What'd you do with it? Well, you see, we live in Scriven County, and those people, man, they're hard to get along with, and they don't, you know, and they want, nobody wants to travel, and we make up all these excuses, and that's why we do what we do. That my goal is that we get the greatest return on investment. If it's one talent, then we're going to get as much out of that one talent as we can. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. Standing before Christ is the second time. This is not the getting into heaven. This is the, what did you do with what I did for you and what I gave you? And we each receive whatever we did deserve for the good and evil we've done on the earth. Then in Matthew 16:27, it says, for the Son of Man is coming, and we read this a couple weeks ago in our heaven message. He's come with his Father's glory and his angels, and then he will reward according to what each one has done. I ended the service a couple weeks ago with this. I'm going to end it today by asking you this question. Will what you put your time, effort, and finances into show up in heaven? That's why we do what we do. That's why we're involved with them. There are other great ministries and there are other people doing great things. That's where God's taken us, because those people matter to God and you matter to God. If you're watching online, think nobody cares. Somebody cares. We care. Real quick, bow your heads, close your eyes, and I'm going to pray, and we'll go enjoy our beautiful 80-degree afternoon. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the hearts of the people of Believers Church, the hearts of people, Father God, just wanting to give, and that their generosity lets us reach people for you all over the world. But today, Father, I ask you for right now in this room, right now watching online, that there are people who don't know you, who maybe have known you but have run from you. God, I'm asking you to knock on the door of their hearts and bring them home. Father, let them respond to you today. In Jesus' name. Now, if you, heads bowed, eyes closed, if that's you real quick, and you say, Clint, that's me, I'm away and I need to come home. If you're online, shoot us a message. Will you wave at me real quick? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to run you. I just want to pray with you real quick. So today, you'll know what it means to be loved by a Father who sent his Son for you. Anybody else? All right. Then just pray something like this. Say, Lord Jesus, today I receive you and what you did for me, your grace and your mercy and complete forgiveness. I confess you now as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name.